Welcome to the Dirt Show, brought to you by Pulver's Towing. And this week we're going to hear from retired sprint car driver Bob Hopp. We're also going to hear from Paul Gillen from Gillen Enterprises and Justice Brothers, Jesse Olson from Medieval Chassis, and our old friend Speed from Cookies Barbecue Sauces and Seasonings, right after a few words from our sponsors.
Have you ever been stuck? I mean, really stuck. This is Darcy from Pulver Towing. Over the years, we've been called to fields and job sites where they've spent days trying to free a piece of equipment from the muck. If you don't have time to wait, call Pulver Towing. Our towing experts will have you out in hours instead of days. With locations in Rochester, Worthington, Fulda, and Marshall, if you're stuck, call Pulver Towing today.
Fire's Engine Service of Rochester opened its doors in 1975. Hi, this is Corey. Since 1975, we've been offering complete engine machining services and assembly. From flatheads to big blocks, Y-blocks to drag race engines, and street rods to pulley tractors. Plus, Fire's Engine Service offers complete dyno service. So if your race car or street car needs a little under the hood, trust the place who's been there since 1975. Contact Fire's Engine Service at 507-282-5586.
The National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open for business 7 days a week, year-round, and the timing to get our doors opened up again couldn't be better. You'll want to be sure to stop by the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum to check out all of the new 2020 Sprint Car shirts, jewelry, books, and merchandise that has already arrived for the season. And you'll definitely want to see the new Salute to Champion Greg Hodnett exhibit inside our museum, featuring eight of the sprint cars that Greg drove during his illustrious career, including Greg's B-Mod race car that he won his first feature race in. And you'll see all of the behind-the-scenes equipment that Greg Hodnett used his engineering degree on to fine-tune his race cars long before his competitors caught on to Greg's technology. This and sprint car racing's greatest achievers all at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
Why choose powder coating over liquid paint finishes? Maximum durability. Extreme powder coatings offer a scientific process that uses heat to bake the colorful finish deep into your product. Extreme powder coatings can deliver multimedia blasting, impact-resistant epoxy primers, and super durable powder coat applications to meet your needs. Visit ExtremePowderCoating.net for more information. Extreme
powder coating. Fast Shafts owner Pat Fagan is a racer himself and has been testing and building drive shafts for himself and teams all over the nation since 1992. Fast Shaft drive shafts are the number one carbon fiber, steel, chrome moly, and aluminum drive shaft builder for over 90% of the major modified chassis builders. Drive shafts, drive shaft repair, 9-inch forward center sections, slip yokes, rear end yokes, ring and pinions, bearings, spools, gears, shim kits, and more. Call Fast Shafts today. Made by racers for racers. 800-622-6617.
Hey, this is Dave from Severson Oil, VP Racing Field, and you're listening to the Driver Segment on The Dirt Show.
Welcome back to the Driver Segment here on The Dirt Show, and it is my pleasure today to be joined by Bob Hopp, driver of the number 88 Justice Brothers Sprint Car. And Bob, where did you grow up, and what are your very first memories of going to the races or being exposed to race cars?
I grew up over in Newport, Minnesota, and I happened to go to Cedar Lake one time with some friends, and the sprint cars were there. That's when the cars were running around the swamp. There was swamp outside the racetrack, and I thought those guys were crazy. They were running right up on the top edge, and it wasn't long after that, here I'm in one.
Many fans have fond memories of the massive racing events at the Minnesota State Fair. It wasn't just one night. It was multiple nights of racing with some of the biggest names in the country. Did you ever attend some of those races before you ever started racing yourself?
No, I didn't. I raced here a couple times on the asphalt, but I've seen a lot of pictures. There's a lot of old memories that go back for other people, but I was probably too young to see some of that.
When did you yourself get started in racing, and when and where was your very first race?
Well, what happened is my oldest sister wanted to meet this guy below the hill. We lived up on a dead-end street, and when I was going to high school, we had to walk down below, and there was a guy down there that was driving a race car, and she wanted to meet this guy. And I knew who he was, so I had to introduce him. And then after that, they were always bugging me, you ought to get into racing. So I ended up buying a car from them, and it was a modified at the time. But getting into racing, I ice raced one winter, and that wasn't for me. It was too cold. And then I got in with a hobby stock class back then. It was a 57 Chevrolet, and we kind of raced that for a couple years, and then my friend got drafted. I went back to trade school, and I'm a machinist for a living, and I like making things. That's how I got more into working with the race cars, because I could build a lot of parts myself. That's how I got going on it. So it was about 1967 when we ice raced, and then the hobby stock 68 or 69 right there, and then the modifieds were everything except for fuel injection at that time. Then it went into sprint car right after that.
And around the late 60s, early 70s, there was a very well-organized and very large ice racing club up in the metro area.
Yeah, it was fun that I did it. Like I said, I'm not fond of the real cold out there, getting your hands cold. And I got into with a few other people and racing and kind of liked that during the summer. And then when I got into modifieds, I really got into it because after I got out of trade school in 69, the company I was working for had issues and I got laid off for about 9 months. Instead of looking for work, you know, being your young, living at home with my parents, and I got going on this racing where you could really spend the time figuring out how race cars work, and it was a lot of fun. We start making a lot of progress on winning races.
How did you meet Glenn Gillen?
Well, what happened was the Midwest Sprint Association, the club that we had to try to keep cars together and get more races here and there, they were putting on the new car show in the spring in March, where they show all the brand new cars. We had a display downstairs. We had three cars there. I didn't have my own car there, but I volunteered 3 nights of my time to go there to talk to people. And Glenn happened to walk up and said, I haven't seen sprint cars since the Bardol days. He used to work for Bardol. And it was early in the night when he stopped by, and before he went home that evening, he stopped back again and invited me out to his office. He wanted to talk more about race cars. And his company was just getting started at the time, and he helped me out with a few things. We started out with some coats and some product, which works really great. And we went on from there, and then we got closer and closer friends, and we were having a lot of fun going different places together and advertising his company, and along with the Midwest Sprint Association, it kind of kept the cars together.
Glenn was very passionate about his business, Gillen Enterprises and Justice Brothers. Is that when the idea of the Justice Brothers number 88 sprint car came about, was that meeting?
Well, the 88, the car that I had, we had a 76 number on it. Well, what developed in there was in 1976, we lost a good friend out at Fairmont, Minnesota, Barry Kettering, and Barry just bought a new car, so he still had his other car, and Glenn ended up buying that car from Renee Kettering, and we raced it at the state fair in 1976 on the asphalt. We spent the whole night finishing up an engine for it because we didn't have an extra engine to put in that car. So we had a lot of used parts that we had to put up with, and we had issues trying to get the motor started. So it was quite late that night, and we had to be there before 7 in the morning at the fair. But we raced there, and we were right behind the leader. It was a 200-lap race. And as we were catching up to him, then all of a sudden our engine started overheating a little bit. And what happened is the issue of the magneto had a steel gear on it instead of a bronze, and we didn't catch it. And it wore down, and it took the timing and took it all out of whack. So it started overheating on us. So we had to pull in. But we were right behind Don Mack, and it was a shame that we couldn't have won it, but that's the way racing is.
A track that was very short-lived started out as Twin City Speedway, then North Star Speedway, ending in 1979 as North Star with two R's. I have heard many stories about how bad the dust and rocks were at that track.
Well, I tell you a little history about that. We used to race Sunday nights over at Stillwater Speedway, and it was close to Stillwater at the fairgrounds. But they had issues with houses being built by there and the noise complaint. So Buzz, the guy that was running that, got a lease on that property for North Star Speedway. but he only had a year's lease at a time, so he couldn't really do a lot to it. Otherwise, he wouldn't get his money back, you know, that he invested in. So it was always on that edge where are they going to run next year or not? And eventually, that's when it closed. What he'd do is, you know, he didn't put any dirt on the racetrack, so Sunday night there, just before the race cars start showing up, he would put some water on the racetrack to get a little bit wet. Well, in racing, you got to have moisture there, and if you don't have it very long, it's gone. It's dry slick after that. So we put up with a lot of dust storms. In fact, I went through a bad crash there. Leonard McCarroll was there, and it was a few other well-known names there at the time, and you went in the corner and the dust went up and you couldn't see a thing. The cars would disappear. And the crash that we got into, a guy spun in that dust and McCarroll hit him. And I was right behind McCarroll and I run right into him. Even though you got padding in your steering where you're sitting there, I stretched enough where I put dents in my shins and my legs. I had to go to the hospital and get them stitched up. But yeah, it got dusty there. I don't blame him. He couldn't do much with the racetrack. But you had to learn how to make the car work. You get a different setup when it gets really dry like that. You got to hook it up a little more.
The North Star Speedway was the home track of the MSA Sprint Car Series. What a great series full of local stars. What are your memories of the MSA and some of the tracks where they raced that don't exist anymore?
Well, what happened is MSA, they would go out to fair tracks and try to get them to set up a sprint race there. I mean, a few of them, we'd show up there and there's grass growing on the racetrack. I mean, where you had to put up with that, but it was a place to race. The group was small. A lot of times we needed every car that showed up to put on a good show, but we seemed to get it put together and we kept running a lot of those races and we finally start getting more competitive cars to show up. And like I said, North Star there, we start getting McCarroll and a few other. Trussell would show up down in Iowa once in a while on Sundays. So there was a few other people there.
One of the great ambassadors for the sport of sprint car racing was Barry Kettering, and he was one of the guys going out ahead of the races and organizing those events at those fairgrounds. What are your memories of Barry in racing against him?
Well, I guess I was kind of just getting really started in the racing, but Barry was such a gentleman, and he kind of brought thoughts up to my mind as you're talking about him, but his story goes with that pipe that he smoked, and he was really quiet, and he'd listen to what you had to say. And like, I was up at Thunder Bay where he's from, and the payoff was afterwards, of course, you know, up in the main grandstand. And at one time we were up there with him, the pay was a little short on mine. He forgot to pay me for a few, and they wouldn't do anything, but Barry says, "Here, you can have mine." It's kind of just the way he was. He was just a super guy.
Another driver that came out of Canada in those days, Lynn McIntosh. Memories of Lynn and racing with him?
Well, memories with Lynn is we had a good time. His crewman was a dentist, and they came along, and we had a good time. We did a lot of traveling together when he came down into Minnesota and off to these races, so stayed a lot of places where we did. So even one of the guys that's helped me for quite a few years, Marv Pedersen, he would help out a lot of these guys trying to tell them how to set up some of their cars. So it was a lot of fun traveling with a few of them guys, you know, being friends. And racing is a different thing once you get out there, of course. But I guess that's how I got started in racing. I like to build things and friends with people. And it was just fun for me to do this. Later on, it was getting a little bit, you know, where it gets so expensive and it was getting harder and harder. More competition was, builders were telling people how to set up cars. And so it was getting a little harder to do some of the upfront spots anymore.
And last but not least, Jerry Reichert Sr., a Minnesota racing legend gone way too soon. Memories of Jerry and racing with him.
Well, Glenn's car that we got from Barry Kettering, I seen pictures of it on the racetrack. Jerry was always telling me, "You're getting too close to me. You shouldn't be doing that." But I was always trying most of the time ahead of him. So I happened to see some of these pictures of the car, and the car was so sideways coming into the corner, but yet it felt like it was stable, and it would just go underneath him and drive right on by. But he'd get on me quite a few times about that situation. He didn't like it. But he had quite a legend himself, driving a 62 car, and we still had good words on the side besides him yelling at me a few times.
When did you start seeing the transition from non-wing sprint cars to wing cars?
Well, you know, when you're in the late 70s there, early 80s, early 80s, we lost a few people in car accidents, and it's a lot safer with the wings, keeping the car stay put more, and so it's starting to get more and more with wing shows. I kind of preferred not to have them because they hook up the car so much more for people that didn't really be able to fine-tune their car. So we had to do a lot more work, too, to figure out how to make it go faster with that wing. But it's definitely a safety factor to it.
What were those very first wings like?
The wings, you know, they weren't quite as big. They were more 4 foot by four, something like that. Some of the first ones, they were just a flat surface there. They weren't made like an airplane wing. A wing is actually just an upside-down airplane wing. So instead of giving lift, it's pushing down on the car. Then they come up with a pretty much standard size like they have now. I don't get off to the races a lot. I'm one of them guys that I like doing it, but I don't like watching a lot because I want to do it some more, but I just kind of stayed away.
The final race at North Star Speedway was August 12th, 1979, a World Outlaw event. Do you remember that race, and did anyone at that time suspect that that might be the very last race ever held there?
You know, there's a lot of times myself, I was so busy with working full-time, and when you're racing from early spring to late fall, running 2 to 3 nights a week, so you got a busy schedule. You don't really think about some of that. I mean, back now, I think back, well, why didn't I do that? Because you got more time to think, but things happen. And I didn't have any idea that it wasn't going to go on any further than that.
Knoxville Raceway, for a sprint car driver, is the holy grail. Memories of the very first trip to Knoxville.
First of all, the people are great down there, friendly. The racetrack itself, the first time down there, it was so fast. We weren't quite ready for that when we went down there. You had to learn a little bit to run there somewhere. For us, it was different because we ran mainly a lot of dry, slick racetracks. And you go down there and that clay is heavy and it pulls hard. And you got to do a lot of changing in the cars to get them to unhook enough where, but yet it still gets slick in spots, but its speed is just there. You got to get that speed.
The April 1982 World Outlaw Show at Knoxville Raceway, you made the A-Main with some of our other area drivers, including Roger Rager, Stacy Redman, Bob Gellner, and John Stevenson. We had a lot of talent in our area that could hold their own with just about anyone in the country.
That was quite a year to make the Nationals like that. The cars come from all over the place. They're so quick. And we did have a few people from this area that kept our sprint cars alive, especially John Stevenson. And they spent the hours, too, on the road to figure that place out. It was great.
Another outlaw race you were involved in included Doug Wolfgang, Sammy Swindell, Brad Doty, Steve Kinzer, Ron Schumann, and Rick Ferkel. Back then, they were just competitors. Did you have any idea all of those guys would eventually be Hall of Famers?
No, at the time they were competitors that we knew that ran awful fast, and we had to see if we could keep up. We kept our hands full, that's for sure. We also went up to Winnipeg when quite a few of those guys were there, and we stuck with a lot of them at that particular time.
The racetrack at Owatonna is now gone. I vividly remember you at Owatonna. The Justice Brothers truck was parked outside the grandstand, and the beautiful Gillen Enterprises Justice Brothers 88 was on the track. What are your memories of running at Owatonna?
Owatonna, you know, being it was usually their fair track that we ran on during the fair, of course, it always seemed to dry slick, too, so it was right in our ballpark where we were used to setting up the car. So So I don't think we ran away with it, but we definitely ran good there and got up to the front. I think we won that last time that they were there, I believe.
I still have the hero card that you gave me at one of those Owatonna races. Those beautiful 8x10 full-color hero cards were something that no one had ever seen back then at that time, and many fans I know hung on to those for years and years after the fact.
I tell you what, after the races were over every night, I had Marv Pedersen and Chuck Prefer and Ralph Clarence and a bunch of other friends, too, that were coming and going with us. And after the races were over, there was lines of kids and people that come down, and they had all my stuff put away in the race trailer while I was signing autographs and talking to people. And it was a lot of fun after. You met a lot of nice people, and I got comments from different ones that bought the pictures and different things. In fact, I was looking for one of the pictures I didn't have, and I finally recovered one of them from a spectator that I happened to run across. He made a copy of it, so that was great.
Last weekend, we were working on my brother's early 1970s non-wing sprint car. Though the concept is still the same, the technology, design, weight, they have really advanced. Those early cars were pretty basic.
Back when I got started, there was no book that they gave you. In fact, I built my own at first until Glenn bought that car from Rini Kettering, and that was a J&J chassis, and that's what we stayed with the rest of the time. They definitely got it tweaked in a lot closer. And I mean, even when I quit racing at Knoxville, the times have definitely increased much faster than what we were going. And to fine-tune it like that, it's just like Kyle Larson. I've been watching him. His car is so smooth going through the corner and doesn't jerk around. The owners of that car got it down to the point where they got it all figured out really close, and they won so many races in such a short time. They can't believe they're really winning this many races. But technology has come far ahead. But that's what it takes to run a sprint car. I mean, we spent many hours in the garage. We spent so much time in the garage doing setups and looking at different things, trying to make blocks and stuff to make the car so we could quick set it up faster and seeing what the car would do. And you can't have anything bind up in a car because if it does, it just pitches the car off to the side. So there's a lot of work in the garage and to get her there. And to keep it constant from one race to the next, it's a lot of time spent.
Favorite track that you ever raced?
Well, I guess I don't have really a lot of favorites. Up in Minnesota here, I enjoyed going to Alexandria. We've raced there a couple times, and it was fun there, the way the track is. But again, it got dry slick, and Superior got dry slick in the fall, and Canada, Winnipeg, it was pretty heavy there. So I guess, you know, I just liked the race, so I didn't really have any racetrack that was really a favorite of mine, I guess.
Worst track, the track that you either had bad luck or just didn't feel comfortable racing there.
Bad luck most of the time, and it's not my worst track. Knoxville, being that you're always running with fast cars and things happen, they happen because you're right in the midst of all this stuff. And we had two or three weeks in a row on that turn three. This was in 81 there when we had a new chassis. Just before that, we crashed there the week before with our other car, and we came home, and the other new one that we were working on, we were always planning ahead, and we had to spend the rest of the week putting that car together. We went to Centurion, Wisconsin, and the car worked so well that we won there, and we went down to Knoxville, and we had second fastest time there, and we went in the trophy dash. And when we get down to turn three on that first lap, we started third row, and the guy that had quick time went around the inside, and I was on the outside and came in to turn three, and we touched a little bit on the wheels, and my car went as high as their light pole. And then it was a week after. It seemed like I was just having a whole string of bad luck there. It just never quit there for a while. Then we had another new car. Same thing. It happened at Jackson and Fairmont, where they changed the Hymens on the front to half inch instead of the 5/8. Both those times we broke one of them coming into turn three, and the car just literally drives right off the end. You lose your steering. So that's racing. It happens. I guess I don't have any particular one that I could say I don't like going there.
Bob, you are still working. What do you do for a day job, and where do you work?
Well, I'm kind of working past. I'll be 71 here next month. I work for a company that we make medical equipment machines to assemble stuff, make a separate part for somebody, other companies or mini medical companies. And I was going to quit at the first of the year, but with this epidemic going on, they talked me in and they were kind of needing the help. So I stayed there. And the company's name is NAC, North Anoka Control System, out of Anoka.
Bob, thank you so much for your memories, your stories. It was always great to see you out at racetracks throughout the region, and thank you so much for being with us here on the Dirt Show today.
Well, thank you very much for asking.
Rhino Ag Equipment is used in agriculture, commercial or industrial mowing applications, landscape preparation, roadside maintenance, and many other farm and ranch applications. With 0% financing for 48 months for qualified buyers, now is the time to take home a Rhino. Find a Rhino Ag dealer near you at rhinoag.com.
For over 40 years, winning drivers have relied on VP Racing Fuels to optimize performance. Now get the same benefit with VP Pro Grade Full Synthetic Oil and High Performance Lubricants. VP's goal was to develop a best-in-class racing oil that offers world-class cutting-edge technology, enhanced durability and wear protection from the street to the track. VP's got you covered with the next generation performance.
Wolf & Sons Yard Service has heavy equipment. This is Scott Wolf. Whether you need a basement dug, a building removed, footings for a remodel, an RV, camper, or boat pad, rock, sand, or dirt hauled, or even a driveway or parking lot road graded, call 455-3524.
Arrow Race Wheels was established on the conviction that its dedicated staff could provide higher quality wheels designed specifically to endure the tough requirements and conditions of the racing industry. Most importantly, the wheels need to be manufactured and sold, maintaining an affordable price structure. Arrow Racing Wheels has become the largest premier steel wheel supplier, and their product line speaks for itself. Upgrade your racing game today at arrowracewheels.com.
Why would you use anything but the latest technology and packing products when it comes to shipping your business products? Foamcraft Packaging in Owatonna provides a complete line of packaging materials, including foam products, pallets, crates, corrugated boxes, and much, much more. See all our different packaging options at foamcraftpackaging.com or call 455-2893. That's 455-2893.
Welcome back to the sponsor segment here on the Dirt Show, and it is always a pleasure to be joined by Paul Gillen from Gillen Enterprises and Justice Brothers. And Paul, last year when we did this interview, it was right before the Glenn Gillen Memorial at the Jackson Motorplex. What a great event that turned out to be.
Oh, I can't agree with you more on that, Clayne. The wonderful people down there at Jackson, they just treated us like $1 million. And what a facility. From when I used to go there back in the 70s and 80s to now, Todd Quirin has put together quite a magnificent facility there. I will definitely remember that. He just did a great job there. Beautiful facility and really sprint car orientated, which I love sprint cars. So what a nice time that was in memorializing my father, who really put as much heart and soul into racing as he did with our company. So very nice to remember him and have people remember him, and everything came out very nice there.
The book you gave me at the memorial, that book by Ed Justice Jr., The Justice Brothers Story, and the photography, what an amazing piece of history that book is.
You know, I couldn't agree with you more. Ed Justice Jr. is a very accomplished photographer, dating way back to the early start of the late 60s, early 70s. He just did a fantastic job of chronicalizing drag racing, the advent of the automobile and the changes in the automobile, but also open wheel racing, IndyCar racing especially, and the legacy there that his father and his uncle started, and that he's doing such a great job of continuing with is a great story. It's a great American story. I really would suggest it as a read to anybody. It's not just a coffee table book. It's a great American story that I believe that everybody would take away something with. They really did a great job of creating a company and a high-quality product, and it's just a very good read. And as you said, very high quality photography in there and photographs in there that start way back in the 30s and 40s. And he just did a great job on the book. And it took him, I believe, 10 years to totally publish that. But he just did a great job. So if anybody wants to get one of those, just call Justice Brothers out in Duarte, California, and I'm sure they can get a copy there from the JB store.
Today's driver's guest, Bob Hopp. Bob turned 71 years old this week. When you were in the infield in a shop helping your dad, Glenn, work on the number 88 Justice Brothers sprint car, Bob must have been an influence on you because he was a very young man in those days.
Well, you know, you're absolutely right, and I would like to say that I have a very, very small part in working on that car at the racetrack, and my dad more so on the organization of the team. But when we have good guys like Marv Pedersen as our crew chief, Chuck Prefer, Ralph, I can't remember Ralph's last name, but these guys worked their heart and soul on this 88 Sprinter and made that thing fast every week. And Bob is a very unique individual who is very humble. You would never pick him as a race car driver, but it was like a metamorphosis once he put the helmet on. It was a whole different person. Bob was a great man to watch race, but also in the pits, how humble he was and how good he was at telling the crew chief on how to set the car up and what it's doing. It was a good marriage, and Bob is just a prince of a man, and yes, he was a great role model, and I can't say enough about how much I enjoyed those early years from when I was 11, 12 years old all the way up into my 20s of following that car and helping out just in a very small portion to it and them allowing me to be a part of it, because those were some very good times in sprint car racing. There was a lot of big names that I got to meet back then, you know, from Jerry Reichert to John Stevenson to Doug Wolfgang, Tumbleweed Nelson, Bill Delansky, all sorts of people that were just wonderful people. And it was the Midwest Sprint Association was just a great thing to be a part of. So, but Bob Hopp, yeah, just a top-shelf guy.
And with that race team, you also visited some of the region's historic racetracks.
Oh, most definitely. When you think about what we used to travel, and we pretty much kept it in the Midwest, from North Star Speedway, which was our Sunday night, every Sunday night, but Grand Forks, Fargo, Winnipeg, Thunder Bay, Proctor, Hibbing, Superior, Ashland, Mandan, Bismarck, Minot, Sioux Falls, Knoxville, of course, the premier of all, Mason City, New Richmond, Wisconsin. We got to go to so many really nice tracks back then, and it was my way of going to the movies, so to speak. That was what we did. We went to racetracks all across the Midwest. It was so enjoyable, and it was great competition back then with really good car counts. And again, all the names were there, but yeah, it was very enjoyable to see all the historic racetracks back then.
When you read about the history of Justice Brothers products, the one message that rings true is the willingness to prove that the product works. In the early days, going directly to the corner filling stations and saying, try this, and when you see what it can do, then sell it to your own customers.
Well, there's a lot of truth in that. Our company is built on quality, and quality such that it is a visual. We can actually show through demonstration on our friction machine and many other different styles of demonstration on how good the product works for reducing friction in the car's engine or in the car's transmission or differential or cleaning, how we can clean the injectors by using a good quality product. Justice Brothers has furnished us and manufactured only the top quality of products through all these 49 years that we've been in business. So the quality always stands behind us. And yeah, I remember the days going out with our sales manager. I never had a babysitter, so they would send me out with the sales managers. And I think my dad was doing a little COVID operation there where I would see if the guys were actually working or not. So I would go out with them, and then I would watch and see what they would do on a daily basis. And they were always so kind as to, of course, get me a candy bar and feed me lunch and things like that. So that was way back in the early 70s when we first started. But yeah, you know, Justice Brothers has always always been a manufacturer of high quality. And at the end of the day, we always know that we've done our best and provided the best, and we never have to second guess.
The legacy of your father lives on through his business. How large of an area do you cover, and how can a business or a retail store request a visit for product demonstrations and possibly start stocking Justice Brothers products?
Sure. So number one, been in business for 49 years. We do handle all of Iowa, Minnesota, North and South Dakota, Wisconsin, and the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And all a person need to do is two things. They can either call us at 1-800-533-7492, and that's our direct line to our company here in Eden Prairie, Minnesota, or they can get on our website at justicebrothers.com and request a sales representative to come out. And we have over 25 sales reps within this region, so we have great coverage. We're always able to take care of the person's needs in a fairly timely fashion. But this is what we really enjoy, is to come directly to the customer to demonstrate the quality of the product and demonstrate what they could be using compared to what we can supply them with, so that they can make a visual decision on what they want to use for their customer. So we really enjoy that part of our jobs and our careers here.
The box of racing products you provided for a husband and wife race team was amazing and would be a welcome gift to any race team. Engine degreaser, brake cleaner, oil treatment, JB80, carb cleaner, gear oil, radiator cooler. Racers, car enthusiasts, retail, commercial, industrial, and ag. Gillen Enterprises and Justice Brothers products provide something for everyone in the listening area.
Well, thank you. We try to cover everything. We don't just do automotive. We do industrial, agricultural, manufacturing, all sorts of different types of products for many different applications. So yes, we do have a broad reach on who we can call on and who we can take care of. So yes, don't have any questions. Just call us. We really would love to hear from you, and we'd love to help you out with your needs and wants and supply you with that top quality product.
Paul, I know we could fill a couple hours alone just talking about racing history between you and me. Thank you for everything that you do for racing over the many years, and thank you for taking the time to be with us here on The Dirt Show.
Clayne, you're very welcome. It's always a pleasure. It's always great to talk to you as well. And like you said, we could talk for hours, but it's just a pleasure. And I wish everybody the best, and let's hope our racing season continues as good as it is now.
One of our new products from Weir's Machine and Racing Products is our load pull sticks. These are used on the corner of your race car. You can gather all kinds of data with them, or you can change springs with them. So this is our ratcheting version. We make it into ratcheting and non-ratcheting, so you can pull the car into motion either on the ground or on jack stands. Pulling the car into motion on the ground will simulate the travel through the motion and tell you if you have a bind or not. One of the things that we're using this for is to change springs. So you would have this set to a certain distance, you would hook it up to the race car, you'll get a load number, you'll pull the spring out, put the next spring in, hook it back up, the load number would be different, and then you will screw the screw jack until the load number is the same. This is simply a tool to build a notebook for you to tune your race cars. Simply just a tool for changing springs, finding a bind in your suspension, and then tuning your right front or left front packages. For more information on our products, find us on the internet at weirsmachine.com.
Let me tell you, friends, about our store. It's a great place we call Miners Outdoor.
Miners Outdoor, your total source Husqvarna dealer in Blooming Prairie, has everything your yard needs. From chainsaws, leaf blowers, and weed trimmers to zero-turn mowers and everything in between. That's what being your Husqvarna Total Source dealer is all about. Stop in today to see the best selection in quality Husqvarna outdoor power equipment. That's Miners Outdoor, Highway 218, Blooming Prairie.
Miners Outdoor, Major Tough.
If you're in need of a worry-free power lift door, then you'll want to stop and talk with Rod French. Make a statement with a Powerlift architectural door on your home or cabin. Powerlift doors can be retrofitted to fit an existing door opening or designed into your next commercial, agricultural, livestock, or aircraft hangar build. Stylish, functional, and built to last. Powerlift doors by French's Manufacturing are made locally in Dodge Center, Minnesota by their experienced craftsmen. Contact Kelly or Rod. Powerlift doors by French's Manufacturing. 374-9306.
Coles Electric in Owatonna is there whether it's a small or large project, with state-of-the-art technology ensuring a professional job will be done every time. Coles Electric services include new construction, design and build, lighting design and installation, remodel work, high voltage, and PLCs. Coles other services include generator sales, security systems, infrared cameras, directional boring systems, underground trenching, plowing, cable location, vacuum excavation, pole setting, boom truck, and 24-hour on-call emergency service. That's Coles Electric in Owatonna. Licensed, bonded, insured, and offering free estimates.
Welcome back to the sponsor segment here on The Dirt Show, and I am joined by Jesse Olson from Medieval Chassis in Mankato. And Jesse, the first thing I want to talk to you about is being involved in the Vega Vet project. We were out at Fairmont Raceway the night they debuted Kenny Peterson's Vega Vet, and that car is awesome. How did you get involved with that project, and what were you involved with?
Well, I've known Jason Subert for quite a long time, and as he was heading up this project, as he was going through it, he had hit us up to basically do the final setup for it and make a couple adjustments to the rear suspension to try to make it the best that it can be for the technology that's put into it. So we brought it in and set the ride heights, scaled out the car, adjusted the panhard bar and pull bar, and got it to be presentable out on the track. So looking forward to seeing it.
You also have been getting your house car out. That is a great tool to find out what is working and how to make it work even better.
Yeah, I'm a very large proponent of getting out on the track myself and seeing how the car feels by the seat of the pants. And that gives me a lot of relation to other drivers that say, hey, the car's doing this or doing that. I can give them real-world feel of changes that they need to make. And the other thing that it does for us is obviously we're doing a lot of R&D and testing out the upcoming chassis. We put a whole full season before we give it out to any of our customers. So a lot of R&D, a lot of fun. Get to go out there and race with the guys and try to make something out of it.
The old adage, putting your money where your mouth is, you know it's working.
Yeah, if I can make it fast and run up front, I'm pretty sure anybody that that can drive can do the same.
Your chassis are having great success out at some of the regional tracks.
Yeah, we've had a very strong year. We made a pretty significant change between 2019 and 2020 here on our stock car and hobby stock chassis and kind of changed our mentality of how we set up the cars. Allows the drivers to really get on the gas a lot sooner than everybody else and use that traction to power through the corners. So we're seeing it first nights out. Guys are top five first nights and not having to figure out the car, nothing like that. It's just get in there, drive, and go to the front.
Jesse, you know and I know that there are many reasons why drivers either want to switch to a different class, they've got an older car and they want to upgrade, or they're not happy with the current car that they have. And coming up October 15th, going up for sale on our Big Deals website at cowsfm.com, will be a Medieval Chassis stock car, and that can be an IMCA or a USRA, and that is going to be a great deal for somebody to get a brand new 2021 chassis.
Yeah, we're real excited about that. Obviously, to support the racers and the racing industry, we always like to do events like this. And when it comes to drivers changing classes, changing chassis manufacturers, there's always fads out there. There's always the hot new thing. But for us, you know, we've been consistent here for the last 15, 20 years and continue to do so for the next 15 or 20 years. And consistency shows throughout the years, and we've always been up front.
Jesse, if they'd like to find out more about Medieval Chassis or Medieval Metalworks, what is the best way to do that?
Well, the first thing you can do is check out our website. Obviously, all of our chassis prices and packages are out there, along with a bunch of pictures. If you have any questions or want to get put onto the schedule, please give us a call. Just like anybody else this time of year, phones are busy, so if you don't get us, please leave a message or try back a little bit later. But yeah, just give us a call and we'll get you taken care of.
Jesse, thank you for your time and thank you for being with us here on The Dirt Show today.
Yeah, anytime. Appreciate it.
So you're inviting friends over for a friendly barbecue? Nice. But if you're a true friend, you'll start with Cookies Barbecue Sauce. I'm Speed the Sauce Man, and let me tell you why the right sauce is so important. Cookies Barbecue Sauce is made from real deal ingredients, and I haven't changed the recipe since 1976. Cookies Barbecue Sauce complements meat. It doesn't smother it. It just makes your food taste better. Smart cookies use cookies. Anything less is just meat abuse.
Cookies is the one.
Midwest Collision. You bend up with Mando. Midwest Collision.
Company vehicles get a workout and they also see a lot of road miles. Midwest Collision in Faribault knows that the more those company vehicles are on the road, the more chances things can happen. Contact Bob today at Midwest Collision and set up a program for your fleet to get back to looking like a fleet you can be proud to own. Contact Midwest Collision in Faribault today for all your fleet body work or collision needs.
Welcome back to a special segment here on The Dirt Show brought to you by Cookies Barbecue Sauces and Seasonings. And as always, I'm joined by Speed the Sauce Man. And Speed, it's the height of summer, all kinds of vegetables out there, and I just saw a great photograph of a plate of tomatoes that you could just dive in and devour.
Oh, I tell you what, Clayne, you know, this time of the year, you really get spoiled with the green beans out of the garden, tomatoes, the cucumbers, the sweet corn. I mean, you name it. I've been eating tomatoes and cucumbers out of the garden. Some friends of mine, Les and Barb Pudens, keep me pretty well supplied. And, oh, I'll tell you what, tomatoes, they've got some smaller ones that you just kind of pop the stem off and then just do a light rinse on them, and they're just bite-sized. Just pop them in your mouth. Oh, so good. And I'll tell you what, another trick, friend of mine, Lou Sippold from Des Moines, take some nice tomatoes and slice them probably a quarter of an inch thick, roughly. Put them on a plate, sprinkle a little flavor enhancer on it, and then you can use that queso quesadilla cheese, which is a soft Mexican cheese. But I've also did it with shredded mozzarella or fresh mozzarella. Put that on it, and then if you want it a little spicier yet, you can either put a little bit of cayenne pepper on it or black pepper. Just kind of season it to suit yourself, but I sprinkle the flavor enhancer right on the tomatoes and on the plate, and then pop in the microwave for, a minute to a minute and a half on high, just to kind of to melt that cheese down over the top of the tomato. And, I'll tell you what, that is so good, Clayne. And the other thing that I've been doing is sweet corn. There's umpteen different ways to cook sweet corn, but I like to just take it and strip the husk off and put it on the grill and brush it just lightly with a little bit of canola oil. And 2 minutes, give it a quarter of a turn, 2 minutes, quarter of a turn, 2 minutes, quarter of a turn, 2 minutes, so a total of 8 minutes, and take it off of there, and then butter, and then sprinkle it with flavor enhancer. In fact, I think I'm going to have to go probably grab some now. But that's kind of my summertime meals, that along with a few other specialties. I'll tell you what, life is good, Clayne.
Speed, all of these great products and great recipe ideas are available on your Facebook page and website.
You betcha. Yeah, the old cookiesbbq.com website, and this tomato one isn't on there, but it's on our Facebook page. But otherwise, just email me, speed@cookiesbbq.com, and tell me what recipe you want, and I'll just shoot her back to you.
Speed, as always, thanks for being with us, and keep on cooking.
Yep, I'll stay in the sauce. Have a good one, buddy.
The dependable start you've been looking for this year can be found at your local Napa Auto Parts store. Napa Automotive Batteries are the best in the business, and throughout August, you'll receive $25 back by mail with any automotive battery purchase. Plus, keep it rolling stronger, longer with a 5-quart jug of Napa Full Synthetic Motor Oil for $16.49. Don't forget to pair it with a Napa Platinum Oil Filter designed for full synthetic oils. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Welcome to the Dirt Track segment brought to you by Cookies, Sauces, and Seasonings.
Last Tuesday night, July 28th, the Dirt Knights Tour paid a visit to Hancock County Speedway in Britt, Iowa. In the 25-lap A-modified A-main, Joel Rust over Ethan Braxma. In the stock cars, Jason Breeze over Troy Swearingen. In the sport mods, Alex Fett over Jared Baumeister. In the hobby stocks, Cody Nielsen over Josh Seidels, and in the Sport Compacts, Tyler Fablecorn over Jade Lang. The Mason City Motor Speedway kicked off Mod Mania last Tuesday night, July 28th. In the USRA B-Mods, Jim Chisholm over Joe Chisholm. In the USRA Hobby Stocks, Scott Doble over Chris Hoofden. In the Stock Cars, Kyle Falk over Matt Jones. And in the A-Modified A-Main, Tanner Mullins over Zach Vanderbeek. Night 2 of Mod Mania at Mason City Motor Speedway last Wednesday night, July 29th. In the USRA B-Mod 20-lap A-Main, Tyler Scroggie over Brandon Hare. In the Hobby Stocks, Chris Hoofden over Scott Spittle. In the Stock Cars, Kyle Falk over Matthew Jones. And in the A-Modified 40-lap A-Main, Lucas Schott over Terry Phillips. And last Thursday night was finale night at Mod Mania at Mason City Motor Speedway. In the USRA B-Mods, Jeremy Chambers over Chris Jackson. In the Hobby Stocks, Scott Spittle over Chris Hoofden. In the Stock Cars, Braden Gare over Blake Adams. And in the 40-lap A-Modified A-Main, Derek Ramirez over Lucas Schott. They were also racing at KRA Speedway in Wilmer last Thursday night, July 30th. In the Wissota Hornets, Justin Skalitsky over Doug Martin. In the Midwest Mods, Brandon Merworth over Ashley Merworth. In the Mod 4s, Adam Prevey over Dean Larson. And in the Wissota A-Mods, Shane Sabraski over Justin A-Strike. In the Street Stocks, Justin Vogel over Derek Zizey. In the Super Stocks, Dexton Cook over Don Eichens. And in the Peer Stocks, Josh Grinninger over Cody Hatch. Kossuth County Speedway in Algona, Iowa was racing last Thursday night, July 30th. In the Hobby Stocks, Cody Nielsen over Jesse Van Langenham. In the Modifieds, Kelly Shryock over Cody Connect. In the Sport Compacts, Jaden Lang over Katie DeVries. In the Sport Mods, Matthew Loaf over Justin Raymond. And in the Stock Cars, Jake Masters over Derek Green. Hancock County Speedway in Britt, Iowa was racing last Friday night, July 31st. In the 20-lap A-Modified A-Main, Jeremy Mills over Nick Meyer. In the Stock Cars, Jake Master over Matt Speckman. In the Sport Mods, Colby Fett over Josh Appel. In the Hobby Stocks, Cody Nielsen over Brandon Nielsen. And in the Sport Compacts, Brad Malin over Tyler Fablecorn. The much-anticipated Casey Knutson Memorial was going on last Friday night at Mississippi Thunder Speedway. In the USRA B-Mod A-Main, Caden Carter over Jim Chisholm. In the USRA Hobby Stock A-Main, Scott Spittle over Chris Hoofden. In the USRA Modifieds, Corey Crasper over A.J. Dimmel. Ogilvy Raceway was racing last Saturday night. In the Hornet A-Main, Connor Haas over Corey Merworth. In the Mod 4s, Dustin Holquist over Robert Holquist. In the Modifieds, Jeremy Nelson over Dennis Check. In the Street Stocks, Parker Anderson over Hunter Anderson. In the Superstock A-Main, Shane Sabraski over Dexton Cook. Arlington Raceway managed to battle Mother Nature last Saturday night, August 1st. In the Hobby Stocks, Corey Probst over Matt Olson. In a Sport Compacts, Brett McDonald over Alan Lahr. In the Sport Mods, Eric Bassett over Vince Corbin. In the Carts, Jake Robb, Travis Manorfield, and Kayla Schriever all took checkered flags. In the Modifieds, it was Dalton Maggers over Clint Hattelstead. In the Outlaw Hobby Stocks, Dakota Robinson over Maury Ostrike. In the Sprint Cars, Bill Johnson over Zach Glazer. And in the Stock Cars, Dan McIntoon over Chad Schroeder. Knoxville Raceway was racing last Saturday night. In the 410 Wing Sprint Car A-Main, Kyle Larson over Rico Abreu. And in the 360 Wing Sprint Car A-Main, Linton Jeffries over Tim Schaefer. Deer Creek Speedway was running last Saturday night, August 1st. In the USRA B-Mods, Jim Chisholm over Andrew Bleese. In the Modified A-Main, Dustin Sorensen over Lucas Schott. In the Midwest Mods, Dylan Godel over Mitch Weiss. In the Street Stocks, Braden Brower over Danny Richards. And in the Super Stocks, Brandon Duhlman over Dylan Kromschroeder. Viking Speedway in Alexandria was also running last Saturday night, August 1st. In the Midwest Mods, Brock Gronewald over Brendan Blazek. In the Modified A-Main, Dustin Bitson over Blake Jetvig. In the Street Stocks, Justin Vogel over Jack Caranda. In the Super Stocks, Trevor Scherer over Davey Crutchen. And in the Super Late Models, Ryan Mickelson over Greg Umloff. Fairmont Raceway was running last Saturday night, August 1st. In the Sport Mods, Carter Shumsky over Jared Baumeister. In the Stock Cars, Justin Lunenberg over Jeff Larson. In the Sport Compacts, Kevin Bolt over Upside Down Bubba Brown. In the Modifieds, Brandon Beckendorf over Roger Nielsen. And in the Hobby Stocks, Parker Larson over Ernie Daly. Last Sunday night, August 2nd, they were running at Mason City Motor Speedway in a 15-lap USRA B-Mod A main. Brandon Maitland over Brandon Hare. In the Hobby Stocks, Chris Hoofden over Kyle Seidels. In the Modifieds, Jason Cummins over the A-Train, Al Haina. In the Stock Cars, Blake Adams over Andrew Borchard. And in the Mini Mods, Logan Brown over Ryan Hensel. The Dirt Show gang was at the grand reopening of Huset Speedway in Brandon, South Dakota last Sunday night, August 2nd. In the 410 Wing Sprint Car 30-lap A Main, Corey Eliason over Dominic Selzy. And in the late model street stock 18-lap A-Main, Corey Yeh over Zach Oliver.
Hi, this is Harvey West, and you've been listening to The Dirt Show. See you at the races.